I'm Josh Adams from Take It to Heart, and you're listening to the Local Locust Podcast, the home for local and underground heavy music.
Welcome back to Local Locust, the podcast where we put the spotlight on local and underground heavy bands. I'm Houston.
And I'm Jake. Today is April 28th, and we're recording episode 5 of the podcast. And we got a great episode in store for you today. We've got two very important things to announce. First, we're officially on Apple Podcast and Google Podcast. So if that's your preferred podcast place, then congratulations. We're there. And I would also like to announce that we are now having the breakdown bracket. But yeah, we're going to have a fancy little colored button to be determined that you cannot.
Yes, the color of which has not yet been decided.
If you're colorblind, this doesn't apply to you, but we'll have a nice color for you and you can go check it out.
Just trust us on this one if you're colorblind. It will be a color.
I'm going to pass this on to Houston for more information about this bracket and an exciting announcement.
Yeah. Okay, so more details on the breakdown bracket. Every episode, we feature a breakdown of the week. In order to commemorate all those breakdowns and kind of make a cool event to help people get involved, we're going to do the breakdown bracket where you can go and vote in a kind of a Google form. It's like a poll, basically, or a survey. And all you're going to have to do is follow the link. It'll be very easy. You'll find that not yet decided colored button on our website. And it'll just have four breakdowns on it. It'll have the last four that we talked about, so about a month's worth of breakdowns as far as the show is concerned, and so you'll have about a month to do it until the next one comes out. And it will just pit two of the breakdowns against each other, and then two more of the breakdowns against each other. And you'll just vote which one do you like more. It's that simple. There'll be videos embedded in case you're not familiar with all of the songs. It is going to collect your information, so it's going to collect an email, like a Gmail account. We do that for two reasons. The first reason is so that you can't vote more than once. Because, you know, we do want it to be a little bit fair. And the second reason is we are going to collect those emails. We're not going to send you any emails. We're not going to contact you by your email. All we're going to do is put your email into a hat. And then at the end of the month, before the next bracket comes out, you're going to get a chance to win a prize. We're actually going to draw from the hat, pick one email, and we're going to email you and say, you won. And you're probably wondering, what the fuck? We have prizes? What? Jake's probably like confused right now.
Where in the budget are we affording this? No, I'm kidding.
My own personal pocket. Okay? I've ordered 30.
What?
30 Local Locust stickers. 3x3 inches. Black with the yellow Local Locust logo on it. You can enter yourself by always voting in the breakdown bracket. So once a month, you'll get a chance to win one of the stickers. So we're really excited to be opening the bracket. By the time you're listening to this, the first bracket will be live on the website. So you can go find the breakdown bracket link. It will be a certain color, and it won't be hard to find.
Dude, stickers. Hell yeah.
Stickers, my man.
That should be their tagline. Stickers. Hell yeah.
Whose tagline?
Stickers. Just stickers in general.
I feel like there was one more thing I wanted to say. Oh yeah, it's kind of a big deal. So normally the way this show works is Jake and I each bring 2 to 3 bands to the table to talk about some new bands who released some new music and get some exposure for those bands, play you some of their tracks. You probably know this already if you're listening. But what we're doing today that's a little bit different is I did not bring any bands because instead I'm going to have an interview at the end of the episode with an underground band or a new forming band. At the end of the episode, stay tuned because I will be doing an exclusive interview with a band called Take It to Heart, a new metalcore band who just released their debut, I guess, EP. It's 4 songs, I think 5 if you include a certain cover song they did. And I've also brought this week's breakdown of the week. But other than that, we're just going to get into 2 bands that Jake brought, talk about that music. But it's going to be a cool episode because it's going to be our first Flash interview. And we're very excited.
Flash interview. Da-na-na-na-na.
Thank you for expressing your excitement. But yeah, therefore, I think the best format would just be to introduce the 2 bands that you've brought to the table, Jake. What kind of bands are we dealing with?
Well, this one's kind of going to be a funny thing because one of them's definitely, I'll feel confident and say it's like blackened thrash metal. And the other one, I'm just going to plead the 5th on. I'm not 100% sure what to call it, to be honest. Like, what genre? And none of their about stuff helped me, per se. So, we'll just take it from there. Maybe you can help me decide on a genre title.
I'll try to give some input. I like labeling things that really probably don't need to be labeled at all.
Perfect. I'd like to start with the Blackened Thrash Metal. This is a band called Sacrilegia, and their new album, The Triclavian Advent. And I hope I said all of that right. The song I want to feature is Armored Angel.
That's a great riff.
Oh, yeah. And that's... I picked it just because, you know, it's like... Not much changes in that at the end, but I feel like you can just sit on that riff for forever, basically.
That riff, I think, lended itself more to the label I think I heard you giving it, which was the Blackened Thrash.
Yeah.
I think I... Yeah, said, that's... I would... In general, though, I think if you zoom out and listen to the, you know, the rest of the tracks and get the whole feel for it, especially the vocals when you incorporate that, I think it's more like a Blackened Death.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, I hear that, especially in the vocals.
Yeah, yeah. That last riff, though, something I made a little note of, does that not just sound like a Testament kind of riff? That's what it reminded me of, just like a...
Yeah, it sounds like an older school riff. But then when it changes, like, the root note or the chord of it or whatever, when it goes down, like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They made it melodic when it didn't have to be.
Yeah.
And I also want to say that I think that stands out from the rest of the record, which didn't necessarily take the roots to make it more melodic.
Yeah, see...
So that was actually a cool standout part that you chose to show.
Yeah, see, I thought a lot of it was kind of like that. I can see where you're going with the death thing, because another band I wrote down... A lot of the riffing, and especially the solos in it, sounded like Slayer, kind of. You know, like how we've talked about how it's almost that death metal line?
Yeah.
That's kind of the feel I got on a lot of the record.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the tremolo picking, not just from that particular part we listened to, but like a lot of the tremolo picking on the record is doing a lot to give it that blackened half of its genre that we're trying to, you know, lump it into there.
And, you know, they're from Dublin, Ireland, and I can't remember exactly, but... They reminded me a lot of, that we've talked about on here, Hellripper. Aren't they from Ireland also? Kind of the same area?
Either that or Wales or something like that, but yeah, that general area of the world.
Yeah, that was a band I figured I'd kind of like lump them together, you know?
Yeah, and on the topic of Hellripper, we haven't actually talked about them formally yet, but we do hope to have him onto the podcast in another Flash interview. So if you're kind of sitting here like, what's Hellripper? First of all, check them out. They're pretty cool. And second of all, we'll get to that soon, I hope.
I'm over here like, you know this thing we've talked about for a while now? Everyone else?
No. But yeah, like, I don't want to play it down. I think this record's pretty heavy.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Death metal, black metal. It's nothing like... I don't know, we fuck around with some pretty melodic stuff and still dare to call it heavy. This is pretty brutal, I think, as far as the normal scope that we look at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the in-your-face kind of metal, you know? This is the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's got like kind of an old-schoolish... I thought it had kind of an old-schooly like production to it. Not necessarily like the riffing and everything, but like something about the production sounded kind of old-school to me.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't... When we listen to a record like this... This is their debut record.
Mm-hmm.
When I hear something like the Triclavian Advent, I wonder, you know, is that a decision that they made to make the record sound, you know, like the genre that it kind of fits into? Mm-hmm. Or is it a budget thing? I don't know. Because if a bigger band did this, they might just opt for like a cleaner production, but lose that aesthetic. So I don't know if it's deliberate or not, but I find it working for this record.
Yeah, that is a fine line where people draw, you know, because sometimes just lower production just helps. You know, and I don't want to say lower production, that's probably not even the right term, just, you know,
yeah,
this stylistic approach to it. But yeah, go check that out. That is Sacrilegia with their new album, The Triclavian Advent. So did you want me to just go into my next one?
Yeah, I think it would make the most sense if you went next as well.
All right, This next one's the one that we're going to try and lump a genre into, even though despite it may just not need to have a genre lump to it. But this is the band Dead to a Dying World with their new album, Elegy, came out on April 19th. This band's from the old heartland of the U.S., Texas.
Hey, Patrick, where's Dead to a Dying World from?
Stupid?
No, I'm Texas!
What's the difference?
No, real talk though, this album, it's easy to see why you're having trouble classifying it, because it is just, I don't know, man. Like, yeah. the whole first, I think this is the same record, the whole
it's
first
one that
track
just
is like
yeah.
not metal. Like, it's just...
Yeah, that opening one's just kind of like the, it's almost like this chanting over like very atmospheric music, like
yeah,
barely any actual stuff going on.
A very full experience.
Yeah,
this is lots more than just the music.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because this is something that's like not necessarily a song I think people are going to jump into. This is like, you just need to listen to the whole thing as it, like the piece it was written as, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
That's kind of how I see
it. Kind of like classical music.
Yeah, yeah. Before we say any more, I'm going to try and... I tried to find somewhere that you could just hear kind of a mix-up in it, and so I don't know if I did great on that, but I'd like to show the Seer's Embrace, and from about the 450 to the 550 mark. Covered what this is.
Okay.
I think they are the opposite version of Rivers of Nile.
I was gonna say that too.
Those slow parts are like that, but the slow parts kind of dominate with this band, and then they have those heavy moments.
Yeah.
As opposed to the heavy moments with those softer, like, atmospheric parts. But
I was also gonna compare them to Rivers of Nile, and consequently maybe try to lump the genre, like, or classification onto them of like a progressive death metal, or like something death metal, but not definitely not just death metal.
Well, the thing is, like, a lot of like prog death is like the death's very prominent, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily think it's as prominent with this record.
Yeah. Another thing I wanted to say is that melody that na 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 na, and you know the na 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 na. That sounds just like Requiem for a Dream, which is like a classical style composition that shows up in movies a lot.
Mm-hmm.
When I heard that for the first time, I was like, is this literally a Requiem for a Dream cover? Because I hadn't heard Requiem for a Dream in so long, and I went to listen to it, and I was like, oh no, they're definitely different. But those strings
mm-hmm.
that this band is bringing in is adding the same flavor, I think, that the saxophone brings to Rivers of Nile, like that unique flavor.
Yeah, I agree. And something I looked up on the page, there's 7 members to this band, and 2 of them, it says, are just holy vocalist.
Oh, really?
Not holy as in religious, but like, WHO. And one person's just listed as playing the, is it viola? Viola?
Oh, yeah, viola.
One of those?
Which is like a violin, sort of. Smaller.
Yeah. I would give like the, I see it in genre titles, but I don't know what it means. I would give it like almost that epic tag. You know what I mean?
Oh,
you ever seen
yeah.
that? It just kind of makes you feel like you're in this grand, I don't know, thing.
Mm-hmm. Or just because of the strings, maybe like a symphonic death metal.
Yeah.
But those all, I don't know, when I hear the word epic, I think of a different kind of epic.
I think this feels like power metal, you know?
Yeah, this feels like an authentic epicness. Whereas when you normally hear epic describing, it's like something over the top and excessive. You know, this just feels like low-key, like death metal meets movie soundtracks.
Yeah. It feels like kind of like a, like we said, the whole album as a whole, like as an experience.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like almost like an adventure from beginning to end.
Yeah.
Fun fact about this, though. I have actually been holding on to this since April 3rd.
Yeah.
Because the single on this Empty Hands Hollow Hymns came out. And I'd listen to that and I'd put it in a thing to remember because I was like, I bet this thing's going to be pretty cool, you know? It's like,
yeah,
it's going to be something, because I'm like, this is an 11-minute track.
11-minute single. Yeah, I'm like, going to keep an eye on this.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm going to watch out for this. But yeah, and I think it paid off. I really enjoy, like, this is something I really enjoy playing, like, when I'm, like, just kind of chilling out at the house, you know? I don't know if it's, like, road trip music, per se.
Like, maybe if you were on, like, a 10-hour road trip.
Yeah.
I don't know about, like, the whole road trip being this, because you get there and you're a different man.
I just wanted to go to the grocery store, and now I'm contemplating everything.
Yeah, so that's Elegy by Dead to a Dying World. So, next up, I don't think Jake is going to be available, but later tonight I'm going to be recording an interview with Take It to Heart and their new EP, their debut release called A House Divided, released April 25th. You can find it everywhere now on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, wherever you like to listen to music. Yeah, so we're just going to play a little bit of Stain right now by Take It to Heart, and then transition straight into the interview.
What can I do? I'm not even trying enough.
Sex with strangers and birds.
Thought I was having a bomb.
But I doubt that I ever
will. I've got no reason to sweat. Just haven't shaken you yet. I've given up on myself.
No, I don't need your rest. Look at you alive.
When you said you couldn't live.
I'm excited to talk about this with you. I know we all are, actually, because I put a lot of work into this thing.
Good. I hope you have a lot to say. A huge warm welcome to Local Locus Podcast. We're very excited to have you guys on. How does it feel to finally have released A House Divided?
Boy.
It feels so good. We've been working on this for a long time, so it feels great.
It's crazy. It's surreal to see our music on Spotify, iTunes. Like you just said, it played on the radio. I listened to that radio station every night when I fell asleep in high school and shit, so...
That's a dream.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Excuse my language. I'll try not to swear.
Oh, we are an explicit podcast.
Okay. Okay, cool.
But before we go any further, I was hoping that you guys could just go one at a time and say, like, introduce yourselves so we can kind of have a name to associate in a role with each voice.
All right. I'm Josh. I'm the guitarist.
My name is John, or Johnny.
Here's Johnny.
And I play drums for Take It to Heart.
I'm Zach, and I do the vocals.
Oh, it's Zach! It's fucking Zach! What the
f- I'm Gage. I play bass, and I write most of the lyrics.
Cool, and I understand Justin is the second guitarist who couldn't make it.
Yes.
Yeah.
How did you guys find each other? Because you're all in different time zones. Can you tell me a little bit about how you got to know each other and all?
It's a pretty deep story. So, we had our old singer. We had been in a band before, so me, Gage, Johnny, and Justin, we had played music for a long time together. Went by an old name called Occupy the Sky, and our old singer was Jeremy, and we just didn't want that sound for Take It to Heart, because it still felt like Occupy the Sky. So I was like, you know, we should reach out and try to find someone different, because I was doing the clean vocals before. I was the clean singer and the guitarist, and I was wanting to incorporate more difficult, more technical guitar parts into our music, and I couldn't do that while also being a clean singer. And so I looked on a bunch of websites like joinaband.com, all this. I was posting our stuff like, hey, we need a singer. And I was like, as like a last resort, it's like, I'm just going to check on Craigslist. Because actually me and Zach live in the same area. It's the other guys. They're in Arkansas. Me and Zach are in Idaho. But I looked on Craigslist and I was like, Zach had posted some videos, and he did some covers. I was like, this guy's awesome. I'm going to send him our information. And he hit me up like the next day, or actually, I think it was the next day. It was like, oh, hell yeah, man. I want in on this. So that's how we connected.
Well, like, there's still so much confusion in my end. Idaho to Arkansas?
All right. Let me take over for a minute.
All right.
This is Johnny. I'm the drummer. I was brought on kind of midway through Occupy the Sky as well, our old band. So all these guys, Josh, Gage, even Jeremy at the time, Justin, they're all from a little place called Tuckerman, Arkansas. And I'm from Jonesboro, Arkansas. So that's kind of where we started all playing it. We traveled to Tuckerman. That's where I met these guys. Everything kind of dissipated for a bit. I think Josh had to go to the military for a little bit. We all kind of got jobs, started families and whatnot. And I guess that fire had still been burning in them when he moved to Idaho. And I got a message saying, hey, we're going to light this thing back up. And then we started looking for a singer, and kind of the rest is history.
Well, that's great. I mean, it's cool that it was able to kind of, it sounds like it was like a childhood project at first, almost.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Me, Justin, and Gage, and our former singer, Jeremy, we had been playing in a band together, since we were like 15 years old in high school. Yes. Like, this is an ongoing dream for, I know, at least the three of us. And I know Johnny as well, and Zach, you know, obviously. So we wanted to make it happen. I was actually on deployment in Iraq. Wow. I was like, I want to do a band. And I wrote pretty much all the music for Stain in my head and then brought it back. And Gage gave me the lyrics, and it just rolled with it.
That's tight, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the way everything came together is kind of fairy tale, honestly. Like, you couldn't really put a band together. I don't think anybody else would ever have a story like that. Just how we all came together and are still together is... I'm excited for the future for sure, especially with this sound that we have right now. I think the rest of the guys could attest to that as well.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Well, let's talk about the music, right? Anything that you guys want to jump into? I mean, I don't have that many questions really about the music. I was hoping you guys would come with some...
I know that whenever I started writing lyrics in particular, I wanted to write something really personal. I wanted it to be very intimate. I didn't want it to just be an EP full of songs about breaking up. I didn't want it to be an EP full of songs about, you know, just breaking shit. I wanted it to be something relatable, but also very personal. So with Stain, you know, it is a song about a breakup, but it's also a song about overcoming. It can be a very dreary, a very bleak song, but it's also a song about getting back out there, getting back on the horse, and not letting the people who fuck you over win. And I think everyone can relate to that on some level.
Get dark. That the one lyric at the end was one I thought was dark at first, and that has lately been stuck in my head, that I'm just a second step from making everybody else's problems go away. That's mm-hmm. tight. And the cadence of it, too. I really love how that plays in the song.
I'm just a second step away from making everybody's problems go away.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say that, too. Like, when I write these lyrics, typically I'll write them just whenever they come to me. You can ask the guys. Our Discord is just littered with lyrics. It's funny because it is dark, but at the same time, it is a song about overcoming. Miss me with that sympathy. It's like, I don't want anyone to feel sorry for me for this. I just want to feel the hurt. I want to feel the pain. I want to feel like I'm ready to die. And then get the fuck on over it.
Cool.
And then with songs like Invader, I called it Invader just because I'm a Dark Souls nerd. so I kind of wanted to pay tribute to that series. It's more a song about my relationship with my adopted father, who obviously we did not have a great relationship. And I feel like anyone who comes from a sort of a broken or abusive household can relate to those lyrics on a very personal level.
Where does the A House Divided come from? I've only listened to the record, I think, three times, and I'm listening to it right now, and I didn't catch that lyric. So is that from one of the songs or anything?
Well, we had the intention to write a song about that, but the more I kept trying to, the more it felt forced.
Mm-hmm.
Because we got A House Divided from the fact that, you know, we were a band, we were playing shows, then some things happened, and, you know, we weren't a band anymore. So then after that, we've all moved away from each other. Even me, like Justin and Johnny kind of live in the same area. Yeah, even they're about an hour or so apart from each other. But I'm like 5 hours away from them now. Josh is in Idaho. Zach's in Idaho. You know, our house is divided, but we're not.
It's touching.
And also, and with the House Divided, with that title, I would say a lot of our songs kind of mimic, like, you know, like a broken home, like Gage was talking about, you know, that how Invader was about his, you know, adopted dad and all that. And Stain is about a breakup.
Let's talk musically. I'm interested in the, I really like the, this type of riffing. This, I don't know, it's sort of genty, I guess I might call it. You know, very contemporary metalcore approach. I love it. So what is the inspiration and stuff, I guess? How do you guys write those riffs and all?
So with most of the riffs, mainly what I do is I have a lot of bands. I listen to a lot of music, like, every day. So like a couple of my favorite bands are like Currents, Fit for a King. Actually, a local band that inspired me was one of my friends is in. It's called Levels. A lot of those guitar riffs, like, I'll take inspiration from those. We used to write like a lot differently, and I feel like once I got back, I was like, you know what? I want to do this new project. I want to make it like genty. I want to make it heavier than what we've done, but I also want to have some feel to the music. I feel like having that gentiness, those choppy riffs, especially in Stain. With those riffs, those are probably some of the best riffs. And Invader, that was really, really focused. Like, that was a wage war feel to me. I'd listened to a lot of wage war at the time.
Another thing about that type of genre and you guys feeling like you fit into that stuff well is, can you guys write a single song that doesn't have a black in it?
I love it.
And a couple of them didn't.
Couple didn't. Okay, that was all Zach, though. Like, I gotta give it to him. I gotta give it to him on that. Zach's just like, he said
one that felt forced, though.
Yeah, that was. I was super into Wage War, and they have some of the Brighton Bomb. He's one of the best blasts in the game.
Yeah.
There's this one line in Invader, sort of near the beginning. The way the word just devolves into a.
I know what you're talking about. It's right before, like, the bridge to the breakdown, or the pre part to the breakdown. It's a little different. It's a little different than your average bleh. It's more like a bleh.
It's an exquisite bleh.
Yeah, there we go. It's like you were going to say the word and you're just so disgusted with the whole situation. You're just like, ugh. Yeah.
And who hasn't been there? I mean.
What do you guys think is the heaviest moment on the whole record?
Ooh.
Oh, good question.
Oh, wow.
Ooh. You're going to get four different answers.
Hmm.
For me, it's Invader, the breakdown in Invader, where we're talking it up, the lyrics there are just so, how does it feel to know I'm better than you, kind of thing, and then it just breaks in there. I think it's honestly one of my favorite parts of the whole record, or the whole EP.
I can agree with that. I think Invader is probably our heaviest track.
I don't know. It's really hard for me because Nonfiction.
I'm going Nonfiction.
The lyrics there for Nonfiction, guys. Come on. It's now humanity is losing the fight. And then, yo, that is just.
Just a little intermission there with the electronics. That's really heavy. I'm pretty sure that's the heaviest part for me.
So Jake couldn't make it. He's the alternate personality on the show who counterbalances me when he has to. But he was busy tonight, but he did give me one question he wanted me to ask you guys. He thought that the Slipknot cover was cool. He said the same thing I said. He's like, it's the perfect kind of cover because it perfectly encapsulates what the original song sounds like, but with a totally different approach to it. It's like a totally different kind of lens to the entire song. And so it captures the song duality, and it captures the band, Take It to Heart. And so he was curious, like, where does a Slipknot cover come from? Where does a new metal, song come from when you guys are this more modern metalcore band? Why did you guys pick it? And, could you talk about how you developed it and stuff like that?
so that was like on a whim, right? It was like maybe 2 weeks before the album was supposed to come out. I was like, we were all talking about like, oh, we need a fifth song. I don't think it's going to be long enough.
We should do a cover. Like,
we should do a cover. And so I was like, let's everybody vote on a cover. And I said Duality. And they're just like, no. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to do Duality. So. Yeah, that's basically how that came to be. So we pay a producer. It's actually Jake Bryant. He was ex-Danger Kids guitarist. I sent him all the stuff, and he said it was wrong. And it was like 2 days before the album was supposed to come out. He's like, hey, you need to re-record all this and send it back to me like right now. And I did, and it came out exactly the way we wanted it, which was crazy because at first...
Is that the mishap that you guys had posted about?
Yeah, basically.
And you got it all handled all in like 2 days? Wow.
Yeah, that was kind of...
That was kind of rough.
Stressful 48 hours.
it was very stressful because he had sent it back and I was like, this is not right. It's not matching up. And I was like, damn, I'm going to have to re-record all this and then send it back in a day.
we wanted a fifth song because you hear 4-song EP and you're like, oh yeah, that's not very much. You hear 5-song EP, that sounds like 20 more songs than 4 songs.
Really, it really does.
You know, we wanted to do a cover. We've wanted to do a cover for a long time, but we've never really landed on the right one. Like Josh said, half of us didn't think Duality was the right one. We were like, Josh, why'd you do this? But now we're like, Josh, you did it. You did it. it's a great cover. I'm pretty proud of how it turned out. As for where it comes from, it's a classic banger. We wanted something. Imagine just being at a show and you hear, I push my fingers into my... You're going to go fucking nuts. It could be it could be Simon and Garfunkel playing it and you're going to go nuts.
That's what Jake said. I was like, I don't listen to a whole lot of Slipknot. And he was like, honestly, neither do I, dude. When I was in middle school and I heard, I push my fingers into my... He says, lose it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you very much to Take It to Heart. It's been a pleasure having you on. Thank you for being our first ever Flash interview on the Local Locus.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Thank you. Big thanks to Take It to Heart. I hate I had to miss the interview, but I really did love the EP, especially the Slipknot cover, which I am excited to listen back on the episode myself to hear about. If you like them and you like what you heard, check them out on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, Red, and add it to your playlist and jam it. And yeah, big thanks again to Take It to Heart, and I'm going to pass it to Houston for the freshest hashtag on this side of this here podcast world.
But yes, big thank you to Take It to Heart. Very excited to have you guys on. And now it's time for our...
Breakdown of the week.
This week's Breakdown of the Week comes from a band called We Are Victory, and it comes off their new album out April 19th called Sirens. Their first release was called Signals. This is their sophomore release. I would describe this as metalcore or post-hardcore, but the thing that really makes it stand out, in my opinion, is the very heavy-handed use of techno. I would compare them to a band called Aspirations from Australia, if I wanted a really close comparison. But if I wanted a comparison that might be more people would get, I'd say maybe The Browning, even. This is actually a Christian band with a very uplifting lyrics. In a lot of ways, they reminded me of the band called Light the Fire. I don't think we've covered a lot of bands that have like super hyper-positive lyrics, or any very Christian bands on the show. So that's another unique element of this band, of We Are Victory. The song I'd like to share with you guys for the Breakdown of the Week, to wrap this all up, is called For Eternity. So I just wanted to give a big thank you again to Take It to Heart, our first ever Flash interview on the podcast. Also, thank you now to We Are Victory for being our Breakdown of the Week. You'll find them on the bracket soon.
Oh yeah, and huge thanks to Sacrilegia and Dead to a Dying World. Cheers.
as you listen to this breakdown, take the moment and go to locallocuspod.com, find the little button that will be a distinct color that has not yet been decided, and go to the breakdown bracket. For Eternity won't be on there until next month, but the four breakdowns that we've featured so far, they'll be on there. Go vote. This is We Are Victory with For Eternity. Thank you for listening to Local Locust Podcast, the podcast that puts the spotlight on local and underground heavy music. If you've enjoyed the show, keep up with us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Local Locust Pod, Facebook, Local Locust Podcast, and you can get direct links to all those places and more from our website on desktop or mobile, locallocustpod.com.
If you or someone you know is in a band and you're about to drop new music that you want featured on the podcast, find us on any of our socials or email us at locallocustpod@gmail.com. You can reach us at the same email for other inquiries or cheap ad rates.
Yeah, boy.